Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
That's going to make a huge difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at 4:30, new in 2018 is our In the News segment. And today we will talk about the high school basketball team that got kicked out of their tournament. We'll tell you why.
Yeah, it's a great whoever came up with the team name, just bravo to them.
It was the kids.
Was that the kids?
It was all the kids.
And the parents just went along with that?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. The coach and the parents, like the coach is real remorseful now, but it's like, dude.
You didn't think.
Really poor judgment.
Well, and the name on the back is as bad as the name on the front. Wait till you hear it.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into all that. Hey, and is holding a gun to an innocent man's head and pulling the trigger murder?
Interesting.
Because this person is claiming it is not.
Well, I may have a different opinion on that, but
so we have that story for you. That'll be in the news 4:30. In the meantime, hey, let's talk NFL.
Let's.
All right, pal. So let's start with the NFC. Now I'm looking at the game times here. Tomorrow we're going to get Falcons Eagles first up. That game will be on NBC.
That's a 1:35 kick Pacific Standard, I believe.
Yeah, 1:30 our time, NBC.
And,
so,
and some of the steam has come out of this, obviously, with Philadelphia, who hasn't looked, you know, since Carson Wentz came, you know, went down, what have we got, 2-3 weeks of Nick Foles, and it doesn't look very good. But, you know, you have the number one and number two defenses in the NFL in this football game.
The Falcons?
Yeah. Yeah, total defense.
No way.
Yeah, I'll look it up. But I saw this just
no way.
A day or two ago.
That can't be right.
I will pull it up for you. You know, there's all kinds of different metrics you can use, but
yeah,
I believe in total defense. This is
the Vikings are number
this
one.
This is one versus
no,
two.
No. The Vikings have the number one defense.
I will pull it up for you.
I object to this. That's wrong.
We will see. I'll pull it up for you.
Well, the Falcons,
I just saw this the other day.
The Falcons D played really well against the Rams. I don't know. Do you give the Eagles any chance here? I mean, the spread. It's interesting. Vegas has the spread Atlanta -3.
Really?
Yeah. And this is the first time ever in the history of Earth that a number one seed has been an underdog. So that tells you something. But at the same time, only three? Like, what am I missing? I think the Falcons ought to beat them, and they ought to beat them. Well, I mean, I don't know about handily, but it's just with Nick Foles, like, I have no faith that the Eagles will win that game.
Well, especially the way they look. I mean, they just – to just say that it's Nick Foles, but we've seen this over the last couple of weeks, and it has not been pretty. So, I mean, you're playing at home. You know, you're 13-3. It's obviously it's a very good roster. You have a great defense. So, yeah, I give Philadelphia a chance. But if I'm a betting man, no, I think Atlanta goes in there, especially the way they looked on the road against the Rams. They shut down the best offense in the NFL and made it look pretty easy to do so. And so you look at Atlanta and their ability to run and their linebacker play and get after the quarterback. I think it's going to be a long day for Philadelphia.
So I've got NFL.com up. That's where I go for my team stats. Yards per game, the number one defense is Minnesota. The number two defense is Jacksonville. Points per game, the number one defense is Minnesota. The number two defense is Jacksonville. So I don't know what other metric.
I read this just the other day that this was, maybe it was in the NFC.
Well, Minnesota's in the NFC.
Yeah, Minnesota's in the NFC too. Well, then maybe what I read
Let me see where the Falcons, I just think that's, I don't know, you maybe may have misread it.
Maybe what I read was incorrect.
Or you misread it.
It's possible.
The Falcons are eighth in points per game total defense in the NFL. That's better than I thought, actually. And
Philadelphia is fourth,
yeah,
what I'm looking at here.
They're fourth. Well, anyway, enough about that game. How about New Orleans, Minnesota?
This is the game of the week. This is the one that I'm most excited about.
Now, that game will be on Sunday. It'll be the last game. It'll be 1:40 our time on Sunday, and it'll be on Fox. But Minnesota has a really unique thing going. You know, they're 13-3, and they could play at home the entire playoffs. They may never have to travel. If they win these next two games, they would host, assuming it's not the Eagles, right? Because the Eagles got the one. So if the Eagles win and the Vikings win, Vikings got to go to Philly. So they need Atlanta to win, which we all think Atlanta's going to win.
Yeah.
So if it's Atlanta, the Vikings get the – if they beat the Saints at home, they get Atlanta at home. And then guess what?
The Super Bowl's in Minnesota.
The Super Bowl's in their home stadium.
And by the way, it never happened before. I read this, and I think I read this actually correctly, unlike the defensive thing.
It's happened twice, but this will have semantics too. Because L.A. in 1981-ish, L.A. played, but they didn't play in their home stadium.
It's in the same city, but not the home stadium.
Yeah, and then in 85, the Niners played, and I think they did play in their – I mean, there's only – back then, it was only Candlestick, right? So I think they did play in their home stadium. I'll double-check that, but I think that's the one time that it did happen.
Hmm. Well, gosh.
I'm kicking your ass today.
You are kicking my ass today.
Well, this is something we covered. Mike and I covered this while you were away. And I'm pretty sure. I got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure it was the Niners in 85. But look, the Vikings, I mean, that's huge, dude. Think about it. And not only that, but think about this. Okay, so let's say LA and San Francisco were right about that.
You're incorrect, by the way, jackass.
Okay, so what is it?
They did play, but it was played in Stanford Stadium. It was not played in their home stadium.
They played the Super Bowl at Stanford Stadium?
You are correct. Played the Super Bowl in Stanford Stadium rather than Candlestick Park, and the
Why?
Rams played in the Rose Bowl rather than the Memorial Coliseum. I have no idea. So I was correct in this, that this would be the first time that a team played in their home stadium.
So, those are San Francisco. Okay, so yeah, that to my point. In their home stadium,
yeah.
What a huge advantage!
I know. Although right? I wonder what the ticket situation would be, right? Because the Super Bowl is not.
No, it's corporate.
It's corporate.
It's so, not rabid fans.
Like
but.
I wonder what it would be. Obviously, I think there'd be more Viking fans there. But let's say it was New England and it was Minnesota, right? I don't necessarily think that stadium is 75% Minnesota fans.
Yeah, I don't know because, okay, this was the point I was going to make. Like, L.A. is different, right? Yeah. It's the Rams. And the Rams had more fans, you know, back then. But, you know, you're playing in the Rose Bowl. They normally played in the Coliseum. I can see that being real corporate and not real Ramsey,
yeah.
Right? Even though it's in their home market. And even in San Francisco, where I think their fans are, you know, they're more rabid fans, but... If it's not in their home stadium, I can see that being more corporate. Bigger cities, right? Minnesota, Minneapolis, like that is, they have a huge following up there.
Yeah.
And it is regional, a la the Packers, right? Like it's, I could see a lot of Rams fans not going or clamoring to go to the Rams see the Rams in the Super Bowl in their home city. I don't see a lot of Vikings fans not wanting to go and pile in and see the freaking Vikings play in the Super Bowl. And by the way, in their home stadium, which is brand new, which a lot of those fans in that region have never been there, yeah. Right? They've never seen that stadium or never been in that stadium because it's brand new. I could see the Vikings packing that place.
I just wonder what the access would be. Like Super Bowl tickets.
I mean, they'd have to pay the freight.
You got to pay the freight. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the split would be. Because it's not like New England fans wouldn't travel to Minnesota. It's not like New England fans wouldn't be trying to grab those tickets too. And just because that you're in Minnesota, the fans in Minnesota aren't going to have access to Super Bowl tickets that other fans won't.
Yeah, no, so, you got to, so, yeah. You, I mean, you're just going to have to, it's just like any other city.
Exactly. You just would be on the secondary market and so that's why I say if it ended up being a team like Pittsburgh or New England, I do not think it would be a giant home field advantage as far as crowd noise goes. Obviously with Minnesota, I think there'd be a level of comfort there. The distraction, like when you go to a Super Bowl city, it is nuts. That's why they do the 2 weeks now, man. There's parties and you know, you're in the hotel and there's a lot that goes on. I think people would be surprised at how best way to put it, unfocused. Some of the players are.
So does that favor the Vikings that it would be at home?
I think it favors the Vikings a lot. That to me is a much bigger, would be a much bigger story than any sort of home crowd noise or the fan base being there. Just the fact that you get to be at home and you get to go through your daily routine, you get to be in your own bed. I don't mean to like kind of talk out of turn here, but just the fact that you'd have to be around your wife and kids, I think would be a big advantage.
Would they do a hotel thing?
They probably would that second week, but probably not the first one.
And then, so even in their hometown, they would get a hotel. And
I think maybe as you led up to the game, but for the most part, I think for the first week and a half, you're probably staying in your home. And I know this sounds funky, man, but when you're around your home, guys at home are different than guys on the road. It's a different mentality. There is a sense of normalcy. You've got your wife, you've got your kids around. And the party kind of aspect of it, it gets dialed down a lot. And when you're on the road and you're there for 2 weeks, there is a lot that goes on. I just think there's a lot of people that just assume that guys like, hey, it's the biggest game of the year and everyone's going to be laser focused. And that's the line of crap that they sell you. Like the coach, oh no, we had a normal week of practice and our guys are dialed in, whatever. Guys are coming in at 4 a.m. S-housed that first week, and they're out at the Playboy party or the Maximum party and doing all this and hobnobbing with celebrities and whatnot. It's a big deal.
So the hotels would hate it, as one of our texters brought up, 55305. Hotels would lose half of their revenue. It's true, because a lot of the fans that normally travel
wouldn't have to.
Wouldn't be there because they'd just be at home. And then, you know, you mentioned the Patriots. If they're there, you know, I wonder how many Patriots fans would travel there for the Super Bowl. I mean, they've been to like 25 Super Bowls in a row. I don't know. I mean, seriously, I don't know if that's really what.
Yeah, I don't know if the New England fan base has Super Bowl fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know how that would affect it, but this is by far the best team to ever position themselves to play for the Super Bowl in their home stadium. That,
yes.
In other words, it is set up for them.
And I think Minnesota is the best team.
They're good.
And you know, everyone keeps you know throwing the Case Keenum thing out there. And by the way, I looked it up. The best I can come up with for the defensive stats is in the NFC scoring defense. This is 2 versus 3. Philadelphia is 2, and the Falcons are 3. That's the.
I wouldn't have guessed the Falcons had the third best scoring D.
Third best scoring D. Huh. But everyone keeps kind of throwing out it's Case Keenum. BS. It doesn't matter at this point. Case Keenum has played, I think, since week 3, and statistically has had one of the best seasons. He's only a journeyman in name alone. At this point in the season, I don't buy into this argument that somehow Case Keenum can't take Minnesota to a Super Bowl. It's hogwash.
Well, I think
not only do they have this beyond elite defense. Do you know statistically this is kind of those Seahawks defenses when they went to back-to-back Super Bowls? This is almost an identical style defense that they've built in Minnesota from a personnel standpoint and from a statistical standpoint. So you have that defense to go along with it. And this is a good offense. This is not just a team that leans on their defense. Case Keenum and company can move the ball.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't. It's just, I think it's like when push comes to shove and it's the playoffs, your money going to be on Case Keenum making huge plays? No. I mean, Case Keenum, it's not unfair to think there's no way Case Keenum will be in the Super Bowl. Because, and it's not to say that he's not good, it's just that he's not some of these other guys. He's not Drew Brees. Yeah. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. And there is some, you know, when you get in the playoffs, it's an oversimplification. But you can look at this thing and quarterback, like if you just want to bet based on quarterback, I'd be curious to know, you know, what that would spit out record-wise. And he is not the best quarterback in this game.
No.
And this is their first playoff game.
But I also,
and he won't be the best quarterback if they play Matt Ryan in Atlanta. I'm just saying, there's something about the Vikings, and I'm looking right at him that I'm like, man, I don't know if this is elite stuff. You're at the next level here, and you get up against a Saints defense that's playing really well, or that Falcons defense that looks so good against, or the Eagles defense, even if they're there. If they force Case Keenum to be making some plays, I would be betting against him.
So I went out, and this one I actually looked up. Total QBR I'm not going off of, hey, I think I read this. Total QBR, I got it right in front of me. Carson Wentz, number one, and he's obviously not playing. Would you care to take a guess?
Nick Foles.
Case Keenum.
No, look, I know. I'm just saying that the playoffs are a different animal. And he's good. He's had a great year. He doesn't make the plays that some of these other guys make. And there are times in playoff games, and they have an elite defense that's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat Minnesota, particularly with their road at home. I'm just saying, we can't expect too much from him. That's for damn sure. Now, if they win like they normally like to win, you know, they don't need that much from him. He's good. Yep. It's just, if it comes down to him and the other quarterback, he's not getting it done.
To your point, so obviously they haven't had many losses because Minnesota's been really good. But in their wins this year, he is completing 71% of his passes, 20 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 105. In the losses that they've had, 55% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So there is...
You know, they won at Atlanta.
You know, and didn't they beat New Orleans as well?
Yeah, they beat New Orleans in the first game. So this is a rematch. They beat him 29-19. But they won. So if you look at their schedule.
And that would have been under Bradford because I think Keenum came in like week 3.
They also beat the Rams pretty handily. That was a nice win. And they won at Atlanta. So they have some nice wins. The Green Bay games, though, they were the ones that knocked Aaron Rodgers out.
Yeah.
And so they beat Green Bay twice. I don't know. I'm looking at their schedule. Their win at Atlanta, you know what the final score was, though? 14-9.
Yeah.
9. They held them. So they're going to need to rely on their defense. Make no mistake. Not that Case Keenum isn't good. It's just he is not the strength of what they have going on.
But on the plus side, when you look at everything they have from they have stars at every level defense.
Yeah. Oh, of their defense? Yes. Absolutely. Their defense is awesome. But again, if you run into another great defense like Philly or Atlanta, which seems to be hot, and New Orleans has a very good defense, and if that's a wash, what are you going down to?
Yeah,
you're going down to quarterbacks, baby. And Case Keenum ain't winning a lot of those battles.
I'll just say right now, I think Minnesota plays in the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
See, I think New Orleans is going to win this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to take New Orleans plus 5. They're getting 5 from Vegas.
And people love the Minnesota
defense.
They
do. Everybody loves Minnesota. But hey, it's right in front of Minnesota, man.
And New Orleans on defense that's been pretty good, they're a little banged up. It's been a bit of a war of attrition for them.
All right, so let's get to, should we get to the AFC?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to the AFC. Coming up next, 417 on The Fan.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Okay, Audible, we will talk AFC at 5:15 because we're a little behind. We have In the News coming up next. There was just one other thing I wanted to bring up about the Saints-Vikings game, and I wondered if you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for the Saints. I saw this on 538.com, and they were saying that the Saints have the best rookie class this century.
Interesting.
So,
well, I know Lattimore has been huge for him, and then obviously...
they only had 7 picks, but it looks like most of those guys are all... They've been big for them.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is, you know, 538, they run numbers and stats and everything, and they said that they not only had the top draft class of any team in 2017, but one of the best this century, and they said to show this, they used ProFootballReference.com's approximate value metric, which is AV.
So it's like a war, right?
Yeah, it's an attempt to put a single number on a seasonal value of a player at any position from any year. So there's no way to measure contributions, you know, of like an offensive tackle relative to a middle linebacker or whatever, but this metric allows them to at least estimate value of every player and compare them regardless of position. And comparing the total AV of every team's rookies just shows how well the Saints drafted in 2017 relative to the rest of the league. They are blowing the competition away to the point where they get 18%, it says, share of each team's approximate value created by their draft picks. 18% of their basically AV is from rookies. Next best was the Niners at 16%. There are only a few teams over 10%. So the Saints get a lot of help from rookies, good or bad?
Going into the playoffs, I mean, it depends on whether or not you buy into the whole experience thing. I think that when you get to this point in the season, the only thing that would be a concern about that is that it's a really long year, and some of these guys can get worn down when you're just not used to playing this much football. Remember remember after the national title game, remember we went in after, was it Auburn or the Ohio State one? I think maybe the Ohio State one.
It was Ohio State.
And
because they played an extra game.
And every guy in that locker room just talked about how
they
had nothing left. Well, now you take that the next year and you go through 8 weeks of camp, including four preseason games. You play 16 regular season games, and now we get into the playoffs, and the Saints did have to play last week. That's a lot of football for a lot of these guys that just aren't used to that. So it's not anything from an experience standpoint that I think is a huge deal. At this point, no one's a rookie anymore. You've played this much football, especially at the level. You look at what Marcus Williams and Lattimore, the two rookies, have done in the Saints secondary. They've been great. But you're playing through a lot of nicks and dings right now. That's the part where I think I would be a bit concerned that you're relying so much on young guys. Whereas Minnesota is a young team, but it's people that have been around the block. You're not relying on rookies quite the same way.
You know, Kamara, one of their rookies, is averaging 6.1 yards per carry.
Yeah. Well, it's what? I think this is the first time in...
That's insane.
I want to say it was like the first time since like the 60s or 70s that two running backs made the Pro Bowl roster. And that's kind of the nice part about him is he hasn't had to be the end all to be all. He's gotten to split some of that workload, obviously, with Mark Ingram.
They have two guys over 1,500 yards.
Yeah, and you're going to need that because that, especially at running back, if he was carrying the bulk of this
especially
this,
against Minnesota.
Yeah, this would be one of those that you'd get real concerned about it.
But, you know, if on the Case Keenum tip, if you want to throw regular season stats out, which a lot of people are, well, he's good, and look at his stats, and he absolutely is. I watch a lot of Vikings this year. Case Keenum played really well. Mm-hmm. Very capable guy, and there's no question they can be in the Super Bowl with him. But, you know, on the stats argument, like Alex Smith was the number one passer rating in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he just lost. So all I'm saying is it's not all about regular season stats. When you get in the postseason, it's another level, which is, I mean, the Vikings are exactly like, there are some similarities to the Chiefs. Now their defense is much better, but the Chiefs for these last handful of years, everybody's been kind of debating, well, can they win the Super Bowl with Alex Smith, right? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yeah. Why would nobody debate that with Case Keenum? It's the same thing. They're both playing really well with good offensive coordinators, but neither guy is a guy that's going to put his team on his back in the playoffs. And so that's all I'm saying is, you know, if you're counting on Alex Smith, and this was the danger of Alex Smith, is that
and they had the fifth best offense total yards.
Yeah, they were
the
really
NFL.
Good offense, but you know, they don't have the defense of Minnesota. Look, Minnesota's defense could very easily carry them straight to the Super Bowl.
I'm telling you, it's a Seahawk-level defense.
It's that good. So Case Keenum may not even be that big of a factor. I'm just saying that you know, in the playoffs, you know, you get some bumps, man. You're coming up against some hot teams and some good teams, and you're going to need your quarterback to make some plays, and this is always the debate about Alex Smith. Well, I don't know why that debate wouldn't apply to Case Keenum. Alex Smith had the number one quarterback rating in the league. He just bowed out at home in the first round. So
yeah, I'm looking to see where Minnesota's offense ranked during the regular season.
My bigger question would be how's their run game?
Yeah, I'll look that
without,
up.
Without what's his nuts?
I'm gonna look Cook. It up and see. Yeah, but again, they've been doing this all year. I mean, this has been their MO. They're 11th, by the way,
in
total offense.
That whole idea of, well, they've been doing this all year, this is their MO. Tell that to the Rams.
Yeah, number one offense.
Who
right?
were also at home, and they got stymied. So it's just, it's another level now, and you really, if I'm a Vikings fan, that would be the one thing I worry about is, oh boy, Case Keenum. But
they have the seventh best running game in the NFL.
Even without Cook,
yeah. See, he's been out for the vast majority of the year.
Yeah, that's huge.
So yeah,
they need that.
I just believe in Minnesota because I do think that this is a really special defense. I don't think that this is a good defense. I think this is an elite. I mean, all time. You got to win a Super Bowl to be considered an all time. But when we talk about the, whether it's the Ravens defense or that Bronco defense when they won it with Peyton Manning, you know, Baltimore's defense over the years and their two Super Bowl wins, like you talk about them in rarefied air, and I don't think Minnesota gets that because there isn't necessarily a household name, right? Like when you think about Minnesota's defense, who is the standout for you?
The guy with the long hair.
The guy with the long hair.
Don't they have a guy with the long hair?
But when you look at their depth chart, when I said they have stars at every single level, you have two of the better pass rushers in the NFL when you look at Everson Griffen, and then on the other side you look at Hunter, and then you've got Kendricks and Barr at the linebacker, which are two of the better linebackers, and then you have. Maybe Jacksonville has the best secondary, but when you look at Xavier Rhodes, one of the elite corners, Harrison Smith is probably the best safety in the NFL, that Zendejo has turned into a Pro Bowl safety. And then on the other side, you've got Waynes, who is basically just a kind of a cast-off that they have playing phenomenal football right now. He couldn't get on the field last year, and everyone said he was a bust, and the guy's been stinking great. And then Terrence Newman is, what, 38, 39 years old, came over with Mike Zimmer, who's found the fountain of youth. And so you can run five DBs out there that are all playing right now at a Pro Bowl level, two elite pass rushers and two Pro Bowl level linebackers. There just is not a weakness on this football team. They just don't have a guy that really runs his mouth quite like a Richard Sherman. You don't have a catchy name like the Legion of Boom. You don't have someone that's as sexy as Von Miller, Defensive Player of the Year. But make no mistake about it, this is the type of defense that has carried those teams to Super Bowl titles. And when you talk about those teams, the Ravens, the Seahawks, the Broncos, what do they all have in common? Not great offenses, but their defense was good enough. I think Minnesota has a solid offense with a truly elite defense, and I think it's good enough to win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum.
It's going to be cold as hell there, too, and the Saints, a dome team.
Yeah, but it's indoors, so.
Oh, that's right. They got a cover on that.
Yeah, they got a cover on it, so it won't.
That's right.
That's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Isn't it like, I saw a report with some gal reporter out there. She was like, she looked like she was freezing her it's tatas off out there.
It's a little chilly.
It's like 4 degrees.
And people saying Jacksonville's defense is better. I would rather have Minnesota's because I think it's a more well-rounded defense. I think when you talk about pass defense, yeah, and their ability to get after the quarterback. But I think overall, I do think Minnesota has a better defense than Jacksonville. But both of those are really stinking good.
You can run a little bit on Jacksonville. You know the thing about Jacksonville's defense? And we'll get to the AFC at 5:15. Don't you just, if you're a Jacksonville fan, if there are any, don't you cringe just waiting for the stupid penalty?
Yeah, there's an element.
They make
of that.
A lot of, like, they're kind of like the Seahawks. You know, they started up with the Seahawks. That's where the Seahawks guy almost went into the stands.
Yeah.
You know, and there were a lot of penalties. They just make a lot of boneheaded mistakes because they play with more of an edge. Minnesota's maybe a little bit more disciplined on defense.
Boy, their secondary is really good, and Calais Campbell and those guys up front. I'll tell you what, you get in obvious passing situations against Jacksonville and you don't run the football and you find yourself in third and long, good luck. Like Le'Veon Bell, I mean, I know we'll get to the FC games, but he has to just be a monster for Pittsburgh, and you've got to avoid third and five plus. And I don't care who you are, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, you find yourself in third and long against that defense, to kiss your ass goodbye.
All right, we will talk about the AFC games. Tennessee, New England, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh coming up at 5:15. Right now, though.
Right now.
We're going to take a break. And then when we come back from it, in the news, we will talk about a story of a youth basketball team in Ohio that has been kicked out of their league, and we'll tell you why.
And probably should have been.
Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
All right. Coming up at 5. The Hot 5 at 5. It's not just a clever name.
That happens from time to time. Although, it's really more like the Hot 5 at 507-ish, 8, 9.
We'll be late.
Niner.
5:15, AFC football talk, and then we'll go from there. Right now, though, it's time for In the News, January 12th.
The year of our Lord.
2018. I'm your noted newsman and decorated reporter.
Decorated non-reporter. Can I say the most decorated non-reporter reporter in the city of Portland?
No, on the West Coast.
You did do the Oregon Zoo Lights one time, though. I mean,
one time.
What else do you? Oh yeah, you're multiple time Zoo Lights guy. Although you didn't do it this year, though.
No.
You had other projects.
Contract dispute.
You're working on a project together, though. You want to do something with the zoo.
I love the zoo.
Yeah.
Big fan of animals. By the way, did you see the
no
alligators or the gators that
poking up out of the ice?
Yeah, that were frozen.
Yeah.
In North Carolina.
Yeah.
And so their body of water was frozen, but their little noses, they just poke their noses up. Everything freezes, and they just kind of go dormy until it unfreezes.
Yeah, I guess they can lower, you know, their body temperature lowers, and they go into like a catatonic state.
That's badass.
Yeah. Well, that's like the whole iguana thing, right? Well, I mean, they're cold-blooded, so they can't heat themselves. They just hang out there and wait to be unfrozen. So can you go out and like poke at them?
I wouldn't.
You get the one that's not quite asleep?
If you tried that, I would hope you would fall through the ice, and then it would eat you.
Wow.
Stop. I mean, because that you don't mess with. It's like when a crocodile hunter put his baby in a gator's mouth.
Yeah, well, he didn't do that. He just was feeding the gator while he was holding the kid.
Oh, I thought he put his head. Don't guys like put their heads in there?
Yeah, but he didn't do that.
He didn't.
No, Steve Irwin he was feeding a croc like a big chicken, and he had the baby like in his arm when he was doing it.
Yeah,
it
seems to make a lot of sense. God,
crikey, he loved those crocs.
Okay, let's go to Cincinnati. For this story, this is a Kings Mills Recreational Basketball League. So it's not a school-sanctioned thing. It's a separate rec league, but these kids are all in high school. And they had a team by the name of the Wet Dream Team.
Mm-hmm. And it said that right there on the jerseys. It said Wet Dream Team.
Yeah, they have blue jerseys, and it says it on there. They're, you know. And then they had a couple guys on the team who had
kind of like He Hate Me. They did nicknames on the back.
Yeah, one of them is Coon.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who wore that is a white kid.
Yep.
And then there's an African-American kid who had a two-word name on the back of his. First word, knee, spelled K-N-E-E.
Space.
Like the knee.
Yeah.
But then the second word was grow.
Yeah, put them together.
G-R-O-W.
Yeah. He was Negro. Bah.
So this was a problem, as you can imagine. Now, the coach is being a bit defiant. His name is Walt Gill.
A good old Walt.
Now, Walt thought nothing of it, apparently. And he said that he did run the Wet Dream Team name past Sharice Middleton, who is a volunteer organization coordinator.
Well, I'll tell you what, you get by Sharice and her watchful eye, then clearly everything's on the up and up.
Well, Sharice is quoted as saying, I told him that you can't use that name. Well, they showed up with the jerseys.
Yeah, with the Wet Dream Team.
And so then a parent complained, and they were kicked out of the tournament, or they kicked out of the league.
I just love that the coach was like, what? What are you... What are you talking about?
He's doubling down. So the coach is asking for his money back.
Yeah.
He wants some money back from the league. He said that he sent an email to the head cheese or somebody, and he said that, look, no one complained to me about racist or sexist jerseys, and so, look, I want my money back.
Dude, you've got a white kid with a jersey that says Coon on it.
He says, I really don't feel this was handled correctly. The email thread starts with a message from Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League spokesman Ben Goodyear to parents, alerting them that the team had been removed from the league. Goodyear writes, as a parent, I thought you ought to know. I would want to know if my son was involved in something like this. Gill responded, saying the names on the jerseys, which included Coon and Negro, were variations of the players' surnames.
This is the part that I'm fascinated by. Now, I have done a million dumb things in my life.
Yes, you have.
I've done a million offensive things in my life. I offend people on a daily basis. But at least when I've done stupid things, I'm well aware of what it is I'm doing. I've never done anything and then been like, well, I don't know why someone would be bothered by that. And yet that's what this jackass is doing. He's trying to play the victim here. He's like, what? I no one complained to me. I thought it was perfectly innocent at the time, and I thought it was just a good spot of fun.
He's saying, look, Since nobody complained to me, I want 65% of the money we spent back to me. And I'm going to return to my parents. And then Goodyear said his reply to Gil was fiery, to say the least.
Yeah, pound sand. How about that?
He said, sir, you can discuss payment with your coordinator. Coon is a racist term, not a variation of the young man's name.
Yes. Someone also saying that the kid wearing the Negro jersey was also white. I'll have to do some further investigation.
He was not.
No?
No. I mean, I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
Now, he may be like Tiger Woods.
Yeah, mixed.
Yeah, maybe he's part Asian. I don't know. But, yeah. So, that's the story out of Cincinnati. Pretty exciting stuff.
It never ceases to amaze me just how dumb.
Our president. Oh, what?
No. Just how dumb people can be.
Hey, coming up next, we have the Super Bowl national anthem singer person.
The national anthem singer person.
Did you know that? You seen who's going to sing that?
I think I saw this a while back. Is this fairly new?
It's this week. Okay. They announced. And is holding a gun to an innocent man's head and pulling the trigger murder? Some would say no. 444 on the fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
All right, we're rolling through in the news January 12, 2018. The next story that I have dug up is from Tacoma. And it's a 21-year-old Tacoma woman who is in some hot water. You know, Mike, never horse around.
Define horse around.
Someone may wind up dead. A 21-year-old Tacoma woman was horsing around with her aunt's boyfriend at an Auburn home December 30th when she held a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. The shooting killed 44-year-old Mark Dearden.
Can I just say that when you're putting a gun to someone's head and then you shoot them, that's not horsing around.
No, she was just horsing around.
I'm all for horseplay. I enjoy a little horseplay. Gunplay is not horseplay.
The shooting killed him. The killer, Deanna Fail, told police, "I didn't mean to do it. And I had no idea that the gun was loaded." So here's what happened. So police get there. And she tells them that this was like, 4:35 in the afternoon, December 30th. And officers found that the guy had been shot just behind his left ear. A bunch of relatives were there. Everything's going crazy. Fail told officers she was just horsing around. She took a gun from her boyfriend. When Dearden told her to stop messing with the gun, she allegedly told him to shut up, jokingly.
Yeah.
And pointed the gun at him, believing it was unloaded. After she shot him, she dropped the gun and called 911.
Yeah, that's murder.
A relative told detectives that he and his friend found the gun in a ravine, and he was showing it to her when she took it from him.
Can I just say this entire story is full of just wonderfully bright individuals? Hey, I found a gun. I'm not going to bother to look and see if it was loaded. They say what kind of gun it was?
Yeah, it's a Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm.
Okay, so that's not a wheel gun. It's got a clip in it. So you didn't bother to take the magazine out? You didn't bother to look and see if it was loaded? You just assumed? Because I don't know about you, Rob, that whenever I find a gun in a ravine, I just assume that it's not loaded.
Now, the boyfriend was there, too.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend. And he was holding the gun, and he told police that he knew there was a magazine in the gun, but he didn't think it was loaded.
I'm just going to go a blanket statement here. It's a tragic thing that someone died. Every one of these people is a moron and is probably better off not being on the streets, whether it's, you know, in prison or whatnot. These are stupid people, and they
are... Now, do you think she gets slapped with, full-on murder?
She should. Absolutely, 100%. No, it's not going to be murder one. I mean, obviously, there was an intent to kill, but Yeah, that's the definition of murder. If I point a gun at you and shoot you, I don't get to say, oops, didn't know that was going to happen.
So how long should she go away?
A long, long time. 20 plus years. I'm a big fan of with the whole murder charge. When that person stops being dead, you get to get out of prison. Until then, I'd like to see you laughing behind bars.
Well, that does happen sometimes.
Yes. I don't understand the whole you murder and then you spend 5, 6, 7 years behind bars. Nah, you took a life. I don't necessarily need to take yours, but you're going to be behind bars.
Now, this is rather morbid, but what's the best state to commit murder? Have you researched that?
I haven't. I know if as far as death penalty goes, you want to be in California. They don't execute anybody. Like you can be on death row there forever. Texas and Florida, I think, are the two worst. Texas and Florida, I think you're going to get the needle or old Sparky there real quick. So I'm assuming maybe California.
Now, see, this says Texas, you can get as little as 5 years.
Well, I was thinking death penalty wise.
But you could also, yeah, so it's like risk reward.
Yeah.
Depends on
Texas, maybe a little more like Yosemite Sam, like, hey, it's just a little gunplay between friends. One of those sorts of things.
Oh, here we go. I got a whole list of punishments for murder in the United States. Look at that. Wikipedia has it all. Fascinating. We now know who will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Isn't it pink?
It is pink. The smoking hot pink.
Who I love and may be my all-time number one.
She's wonderful.
She does it for me in so many different ways.
Now, do you know her real name?
Alicia Moore.
Yep. Alicia Beth Moore.
I did not know the Beth part.
Do we know where she's from?
She's in the Midwest somewhere.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that stupid marriage to break up and then her to fall desperately in love with me, but...
Who's she married to?
Carrie Hart, who's a really good-looking, oily bohunk like motocross racer, so...
I thought he died.
Nope, still alive. Said I've been waiting out that marriage for a while, and they broke up a couple times, but unfortunately she doesn't, she never circled back my way.
I remember Carrie Hart.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm. I think she's simply wonderful, and I think she's a hell of a performer.
She's good. She's got a great voice.
So I'd like to see her do halftime as opposed to the national anthem.
Is she big enough?
She's pretty big.
Yeah. I know she's pretty big, but...
Who's the halftime act this year?
JT.
Oh, yeah.
My boy.
You can't argue with
Justin
that.
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that's right. He's back after Nipplegate.
Yeah, and he's got new stuff coming out.
Does he?
Yeah, he put out new stuff.
They won't do that. You got to do the old stuff. You got to do the hits.
Oh, yeah, he will.
And do the stuff everyone wants. I bet you the NSYNC boys show up there with him. That's my prediction.
Oh, you think so?
Well, you know, there's always like a guest. You know, they always do like the guest performer that joins you on stage. I bet you he throws a bone to fat Joey Fatone and the rest of those chumps. I bet you they join on stage for one more like bye, 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 one of those sorts of things.
Now, Pink and Carrie Hart have kids, right? Oh, yeah, they do. They have two. They have two kids named Moon and Willow.
I don't think the kid's Moon.
Jameson Moon Hart.
Oh, yeah.
And Willow Sage Hart.
Yeah, Jameson. Named after the whiskey, by the way.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I guarantee he named him, and she was like, oh, Moon. He's like, no, Jameson. All right, Jameson Moon. And then she named the girl Willow Sage. There's no question about that.
No, that's definitely mom's influence right there.
I like Pink, too. I think there's a... You know what I like about her? Not only is she good, but she's got a little danger to her.
Yeah. Some people are unhappy saying that that's my all-time number one, but hey, to each their own.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be your number
Everybody's one. Everybody's got different tastes.
Just be my number one.
Do you see Elizabeth Hurley's back? Did you see that?
No.
Boy, she used to be my number one, but you know, she's 52 now.
And probably still looking pretty good, I'm guessing.
She looks great. She popped back up with a new like Instagram account. Everybody's going crazy over.
That's what happens. You disappear for a while and then you come back hotter than ever.
God.
It's a great comeback story. It's a feel good story of the year.
Tell you what. All right, that's in the news, January 12th, 2018. Coming up next, we have the Hot 5 at 5. The Blazers are playing tonight. We have some coaching news. Arizona football may have their guy. And a really big deal out of baseball. 456 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.